May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love. Well, howdy, howdy. This is the Cosmic Cowboy with Cosmic Love for Saturday, May 17th, 2025. And since I'm broadcasting live on the internet to about 63 nations, I never know who's listening. So if you're new to the show, welcome to my update on fast-changing world news. I'll be narrating from two newsletters I've published since my last show 2 weeks ago. So this live show will be available as a podcast replay, usually within a day or two. And when you listen to the podcast, these newsletters are linked in the footnotes. Now, today I'm going to be going through these newsletters like a narrative and basically cuss and discuss, you know, some breakthrough new world news. I mean, really earth-shattering stuff. Some of it just blew my mind. Of course, the idea is to, you know, open your hearts too, to some cosmic love stuff that I'm, you know, different frames of reference for that. So anyway, I hope you can follow along, either, you know, just listening today live, or if you're listening to a podcast, you can pull up the narrative and go through it, you know, the newsletter, and go through it while I'm reading it. And you can pause it at any time and watch the videos or look at the articles that I reference. So you can create your own custom multimedia show. Some people like to do that. Some people know how. If you're on the desktop, it's easier than on a phone. So each to their own multimedia capabilities. Anyway, today I'll be discussing these two recent newsletters. On the full moon back on May 11th, I did a Mother's Day tribute. And on May 16th, here just yesterday, I did a piece which I really enjoyed doing called Surfing the Apocalypse. And I'll go into yesterday's newsletter shortly. But first, it's time for a cosmic weather report. So there's a lot of cosmic drama on the world stage right now, and we're closing out a 2,000 years cycle, age of Pisces, and leaving behind, you know, blind faith and fear-based behavior as we enter a more enlightened Aquarian age with a new relationship paradigm based on social conscience and cooperation. The spirit that matters on Earth as in cosmos at large. And most recently, as the show airs today, the astrology psychology, global humanity is experiencing some very cosmic energies with the sun exactly conjunct Uranus, and both the sun and Uranus in an exact trine with the moon. And all three of these are sextile Saturn and Pisces. Now, this may be an astrological gobbledygook for some of you, but for those who are even amateur astrologers, you know that this is a powerful cosmic window of insightful opportunity. So realize that these cosmic energies reflect what is going mainstream increasingly in the Aquarian quantum age. They'll call the Aquarian age the quantum age because of the realization that it's all energy, and understanding energies and mastering energies and quantum field, quantum science, quantum reality. This is where we're going. So anyway, so much for the cosmic weather. I don't know if you can hear that, but boy, we got quite a thunderstorm and downpour outside right now. Anyway, in today's show, I'll try to open your heart while I blow your mind with some news that the lamestream media abhors to mention. Well, let's just say they failed to mention it. So I'm going to go first into this one published yesterday, Surfing the Apocalypse. And the byline there is keeping your balance as a conspiracy realist. Now, there's a big difference between a conspiracy theorist and a conspiracy realist. I'll be going into that. So if you're able to, even while I'm doing this live, some of you know how to pull up another window if you're on a desktop computer and follow along the narrative that's archived at the HeartCom network. And again, some of you know how to do that, and you'll see a picture at the top. And it's this little kid on a surfboard, and he's on a wave, and he's got his arms spread out, and he's crouched down, keeping his balance. And the caption for this infographic is, "You can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf." So there's this little kid on a surfboard, hanging 10, so to speak. So, and the point being here is big waves, folks. I mean, we got big waves coming in. And this is a, when I say a very serious situation, what's coming in is some serious wave disruption, you might say, to the deep state of status quo paradigm paralysis. In other words, normalcy bias. Some deep disruption to normalcy bias is in the works. And they'll understand this. This is the quote-unquote tribulations part of Revelations, the apocalypse, that AI is accelerating with great truth and an unimaginable wisdom. Now, when I say that, great truth and unimaginable wisdom regarding AI and how AI is accelerating this. This is actually a quote from that I'm gonna that follows here. Keep in mind before I go on about apocalypse, the conventional connotation of apocalypse is pretty negative, but that's just wrong. And there's this quote here by Dan Brown from The Lost Symbol, one of my favorite books by Dan Brown, if you've read any of his books. And this is the quote that goes, excuse me. The apocalypse is literally a revelation, a revealation. He capitalizes in the word revelation, he capitalizes reveal, revelation. The book of Revelation in the Bible predicts an unveiling of great truth and unimaginable wisdom. That's where I get this quote. This is what apocalypse is really about. And Dan Brown goes on to say that the apocalypse is not the end of the world, but rather it is the end of the world as we have known it. The prophecy of the apocalypse is just one of the Bible's beautiful passages that have been distorted. So, excuse me, that's quite a statement, kind of a repositioning the concept of apocalypse from a negative to a positive, that there's a revealing going on. And I like this quote in this regard by T.J. Woodward, where he says, quote, "Spiritual evolution is not moving towards some perfect state. It is growing an awareness of a perfection that already is." I really like that. In other words, the perfection and the order of the universe and the fractal order of the holographic universe, however you want to look, like the perfect order, the divine order in the universe, the law and the language of the law of the angels, the language of the angels of cosmic universal love. I mean, this is perfect. It always has been perfect. So we're just awakening to this awareness of this perfection and basically harmonizing, aligning, trend fitting, you might say, the momentum of our consciousness in the here and now, from moment to moment. There's a trend fitting, ideally with perfection, this process of awakening unto enlightenment. It's a process. And it's, again, not so much moving toward some perfect state. It's just growing an awareness of the perfection that already exists. So keep the faith, see the perfection, and make it so. Now, that's the introduction to this newsletter today for May, published May 16th. And I say right at the top, I'm going to get into some heavy stuff, and quite often in my newsletters, I'll say skip to the bottom for inspiration, because some people, they really don't want to deal with the serious stuff that's happening in the world that challenges their normalcy bias. Other people, would rather know better so they can do better, as far as what's really going on, to be more effective in their affirmations, confirmations, concentration and invocations of the light of God, love, source, all that is, invoking that spirit that matters into specific situations, so that the more you're aware of specific situations in the world that need illumination and exposure and awakening, the more that you do this process of awakening through invoking, mediation, meditation, invocation of light, of God, love that always prevails, the perfect order of the universe, invoking that, the greater the results you get, So the higher the concept of divine, higher power, however you know God, the greater the results for practical applications and for specific situations. And the specific situation I open with in the newsletter, some of the big waves, the breaking news of the week, and I adjure you to, again, ride the wave, keep your balance with objective perspective. And this first article is, multiple Western press outlets have suddenly pivoted hard against Israel. Now, this is from Catelyn Johnson from Australia. She's one of the better writers on Substack. And she says, the subtext here is that after a year and a half of genocidal atrocities, the editorial boards of numerous British press outlets have suddenly come out hard against Israel's genocidal onslaught in Gaza. There's a turning this week, folks. I mean, it's quite dramatic turning. I mean, and here's the point. Now that Zionism has become synonymous worldwide with, genocide, ethnic cleansing, and racism, Trump is making big moves this week. Now, the mainstream media is not reporting this much or well at all, but and there's a headline here, Donald Trump to announce U.S. recognizes Palestinian state, Gulf diplomatic source claims. This is from Forbidden News, which is definitely an alternative media publication, but they're a good source of good information. One of my one of the best sources I've found for consistent truth-telling on unspeakable stuff that's not being reported in the lamestream media. So what they're saying, the byline here, is that, quote, within 48 hours, we went from the most pro-Israel president to the most pro-Arab president of all time, unquote. So, and then here's another headline, huge. Trump to recognize Palestinian state, says Israeli newspaper. And there's a video of this, and this is by way of the Jimmy Dore show. So it's now this was just, published 4 days ago. So anyway, and if you think this is huge, which it is, consider this news. Okay, now, a little backstory here. And this is about free energy. Unlimited free energy from the source surrounds us constantly. And although most inventors like Tesla, who attempted to restore this quantum knowledge, although they were silenced, a new generation is rising and breaking through these barriers. And I go on to say, witness the quantum age dawning in the realm of energy. And there's this video. This is from a source on the internet that does YouTube videos called Uplifting Africa. This is on YouTube. So this is mainstream disclosure, YouTube censors stuff that they don't want leaked out. And when they want a limited hangout of new technologies, quite often they'll put it on YouTube because they want the information to start getting out there. So this Tesla technology has been, has been concealed, has been covered up, it has been, it has been held back ever since Tesla, because it makes big oil obsolete, if not big pharma, and I'll be going into that. But this video is about this guy in Africa. I don't even know how to pronounce his name, who has invented these self-powered cars because he's pulling energy, he calls it micro-energy, quantum field energy, zero-point energy out of the quantum field, and he's using it not only to power, and they're in production of electric vehicles, motorcycles. They're even in production of TVs that are self-powered with this micro-energy. They don't have to hook up to the power grid. They don't have to hook up to solar panels or anything. I mean, this is huge. And this is what they call disruptive technology because it disrupts the status quo. But it's breaking out. It's been breaking out all over the world. It's been suppressed numerous times, numerous places. You know, vendors and this guy's partner was poisoned, you know, the last time he went to the West and tried to get support for this. And he survived the poisoning. But he got the president, what is it, Tanzania involved in an African country? But watch this video. I mean, it'll blow your mind. And there's another video. I give a link on, you know, the new self-powered TVs with this micro, and it shows the devices used to create the energy on the back of the TV. I mean, this technology, I've known this has existed, but for it to come out through a guy that didn't have a high school education in Africa, and the story behind this, I mean, it's classic. This is history making. I don't know whether this is going to be reported in the mainstream media anytime soon, but this is, you know, maybe you see, you're if you're seeing it here first, I would watch it and you know, make a prayer, an invocation, you know, the powers that be upstairs, you know, to basically protect this technology and protect, you know, the coming out of this technology. Because this is, talk about evolution, revolution, revelations. I mean, this is huge. So this is why, as with artificial intelligence, everything will be changing dramatically. AI by itself is going to be changing so much. I'm going into different dimensions of this, but after the shock and awe value of watching this video and watching the TVs that are in production, that run on free energy, and the implications, you know, for powering cars, you know, I mean, how this will eventually make a combustion engines, electric vehicles, the energy grid itself, and the economics of scarcity will make them obsolete. The economics of scarcity, when you have abundance like this, abundance in every field with abundant energy can be created. And there's a whole thing of decentralizing where people can live on a mountaintop with energy. And they can communicate with the world. They can, you know, it's like you'll create independence, you'll cause decentralization because the power grids, you know, I mean, there's going to be a while where we'll have the power grids, but the power generators will be this micro energy that powers the generators. And if people can have them in the homes, why would they hook up to the power grid that costs them so much every month when they got the free energy? You know, from a device, you know, forever, for powering their home, their cars, they'll have flying planes here before long with this stuff. But anyway, going to change everything, and this is why you want to be centered and connected. In other words, there's going to be a lot of change, real fast. Change is going to be accelerating, folks. So you want to be the eye of the hurricane. You know, you want to keep that harmonious calm, so that the all-seeing eye of the hurricane, you know, you don't get caught up in the swirl and get, you know, off center and off balance and just you get spun out, you know, just keep, you know, centered and connected by listening to, you know, meditation, listening to God and speaking to invocation, you know, speaking to higher power source, all that is, or however you know God, you know, there's the listening to God and there's speaking to God. There's meditation and there's invocation. And the reason you want to be centered and connected is because the more information you have, the greater is the need to get it all in order. And you can't organize information if you're not centered and connected. You got to have a philosophic calm, like the mountain lake, a still mountain lake that can reflect the heavens, where you can see through the surface into the unconscious, subconscious, see the fish thought forms that are swimming around down there. You want to be centered and connected. You know, like again, the eye of the hurricane. So you have that. When I say the all-seeing eye, you know, you have a prevailing awareness moment to moment of the spirit that matters, with frames of reference. And I refer to the pure geometry archetypes as frames of reference for God vision, God geometrically ordered divinity. So looking into the eye of God through the eye of God. I mean, you know, the man of God, the woman of God sees God in all mankind. You know, it's like it ain't rocket science. You know, it's like the perfection is there, and seeing it, you know, you have to see yourself doing something before you do it sometimes. So some people are totally spontaneous and they don't think what they're doing, but the more conscious you become of how you're conscious, You do predictive modeling, and you see what you want to do, and you see yourself doing it, and then you do it. Like usually on my radio show, I tell people what I'm going to tell them, and then I tell them, and then I sum it up, and I tell them what I told them. So anyway, if you think about it, you are the masterpiece that you've waited for. You're the masterpiece that you waited for. I mean, it's like the perfection is within. So with God vision centered and connected, with through prayer, invocation as a function of, visualization, meditation, concentration, and, invocation, like the affirmation, confirmation, determination, and integration of vision, the components to the capstone of God vision, whether you call it geometrically ordered divinity or the mind of God. Or the heart of co-creation, with heart coherence. We're talking about, the keynote here is the joy code and the hero archetype. So that's kind of, the keynote of what follows here. And there's a the byline is that mastery has joy and enthusiasm. And there's a GIF, an animated graphic of this little girl, is a video of her. She's so excited. She's so excited, and she just over and over, she's moving her hands and her face with such excitement. It's contagious. You can't help but almost laugh looking at it. That is in the graphic, on the published newsletter that some of you can pull up, and some of you, if you're listening to the podcast, you can pull up and follow along on this Surfing the Apocalypse article. And this is about a third of the way down as you scroll down on these compendiums. So the byline there is, with this little girl that's so excited, is that when you love people and have the desire to make a profound positive impact upon their world, then you mastery then your mastery lives. Then you're alive with, you want to be alive with your mastery, and your masterpiece becomes your life. It's like learning how to dance. By dancing, you learn how to dance, and you become a masterpiece. The more you mastery, basically service to others. I mean, life is the dance. You gotta keep dancing, and being centered and connected. Well, you gotta keep your balance. It's like surfing the apocalypse. I mean, there's a lot of stuff being thrown at us, folks. Every day, a lot of people are just, it's freaking nuts. If you listen to the lamestream media, half of the strategy of national propaganda radio, I mean NPR, is that they want to create such extraordinary cognitive dissonance that doesn't make any sense or sounds crazy, like hearing every day for the last year and a half that they're bombing the hell out of Gaza. That is just plain depressing, which is on purpose. Because if you have cognitive dissonance and you're depressed and you don't know what to think, well, then whatever the government tells you to think, and that's what they do. They'll tell you over and over something that's just a big lie, like vaccines being safe and effective. See, they're still saying they're safe and effective, and it's out all over the world. The millions of people that are suffering, from vax damage. I mean, the stories on that, and people that follow this alternative networks, I mean, it's just like all over the world every day. I mean, there's news groups that talk about every day people dropping dead or with all kinds of, I mean, and direct consequence to following the vaccine or whatever. I mean, the science, there's plenty of science out there, but people believe what they want to believe, and they have free will. So, I mean, I'm not judging the people that took the vax. And matter of fact, I would really not, rather not dwell on it, because there was a lot of vaxes out there. Most people don't realize that were placebos. They were doing test. It was like a test marketed, and they've got different areas of the United States where they different batches, vaccine batches that had different placebos in different areas. So you might have got it if you got a vax. You might have got the placebo, and I don't want to dwell on the side effects and the number of people dying from the vax, because it's like a curse. Who wants to believe that? So I'd rather, if I had a vaccine, I'd rather believe that maybe I didn't get it and I'm just going to be just fine. Thank you very much. So the spirit I'm talking about of the spirit that matters is just always remember that love is forgiving. And this was the point I was trying to make about, how you can't give what you don't have. So if you want to be of service to others, you want to be begin with, knowing thyself and being And you know, when I say service to yourself, you want to get your act together, and basically learn, know thyself, so that you can be whole and connect with whole, connect with others through wholeness. And there's a quote here that I really like. It goes, quote, "When you light a path for someone else, you illuminate your own journey as well. In the quiet moments of helping others, we often discover our own strength, purpose, and the profound interconnectedness that makes us human." So, this is this whole spirit of love is forgiving. It's forgiving. 70 times 7, however you want to say it. Love in action, frequency, as in frequently. So it is for initiates on the path. This is the way it is for initiates on the path of self-mastery for greater service. Again, you can't give what you don't have, and you know you're on the path of, service when you experience such extraordinary synchronicities in your life that you just know there's got to be a higher power at work, on Earth as in cosmos, universe at large. I mean, I've had synchronicities in my life that, it had to be the hand of God. It's like, what was it? The aliens and their starships messing with me? No. This is something. What goes on, in synchronicity in life? I sometimes refer to ESP as effective sensory perception. There's nothing extra about effective sensory perception when you have it. And this is the perfection state that we're going into. It's like the fifth dimension, where synchronicity and what other people are thinking when they're thinking it. And this is the higher order of things in the universe and civilizations. Advanced civilizations, they're very telepathic. They're very telepathic. Generations and generations past being telepathic, they get very small mouths and very small lips. Because they don't talk that much, they're telepathic. And that's the way, humanoids evolve. If your mouth is being used for expression and words and emotions and feelings, you get an expressive mouth, So I guess the point I'm making here is that there's an order to the universe. The universe is in divine order. God has methods. And again, I refer to God as geometrically ordered divinity, G-O-D. And some people refer to it as God as geometry of divinity. And I use the love model with circle, triangle, square as a frame of reference for the first principles of the law of the angles. Again, circle is nonlinear, the law of the one. The L is linear, the law of the two and one, polarity rather than duality. The V is the Trinity, the law of the three and one, the throne of God, three and one. And the E in this geometrized love model is the four and one, the four archetypes. And if you might say the four sides of the pyramid of self and civilization. As you're looking down on a pyramid, it looks like a square with a cross through the middle. And then I put a circle in the very middle to represent the capstone, which is sometimes referred to as the five and one or the fifth dimensional 5D, fifth ray vision of virtue and valor for the victory of the ascension process, basically, more light and love, easier and faster. So this is the pink and the blue, the alpha to omega of the cosmic dance. The pink and the blue is the language of the angels, is the pink, and the blue is the alpha. The law, you've got the law of the angles, the alpha, and you got the language of the angels, the omega. So this alpha to omega of the cosmic dance is when the divine masculine, you might say, twirls the divine feminine with auric blending. The blue and the pink in the auras, creating a violet frequency of the Holy Spirit of love and action. I'm waxing poetic, folk, but I'm color coordinating the copy if you're reading it. And again, the frequency in the colors, the frequency of the masculine. There is a masculine energy. And there is a feminine energy. And this whole thing of sexism, really, if you understand that you get there's a strong alpha archetype, which is usually considered a masculine, but you get strong alpha females. And quite often in cosmic history, cosmic law, if you understand reincarnation, the way it works is that you may have, a man may have several embodiments where he's a man's man. And he goes before the karmic board before his next incarnation, and they say, this time you got to go back, you got to go back as a woman to soften some things up. Soften up a little bit. You're getting too masculine. You got to balance more your feminine side. So they incarnate that as a woman, but they've got a strong alpha momentum. So they're like an alpha female. I dance with them all the time. And they want to lead. You can usually tell within the first 10 seconds if they want to take over they want to lead the dance. And but then and you get the opposite of that. Men who are very sensitive. They've been a female in many embodiments, and they this time, they came back as a male to balance things out, but they're still so sensitive. They're like an omega male. They're very sensitive. They're very, you might say, submissive, but it's more like they want to be in harmony with whoever they're with rather than to dominate whoever they're with. So there's these dynamics that are going on in relationships all the time. And of course, it fascinates me. Because you can see the archetypes, universal law language archetypes, the blue, the yellow, the pink, the balance. When you have a balance of the left and right hemisphere, your masculine and feminine side, there's a synergy. When it's in balance, the synergy is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And this is like the four synergies, the four triangles, the four trinities in the geometrized E archetype. Of the love model, which is like again the square with the cross, and you have the circle in the middle representing the capstone, and you're talking about a synergy of the four components to the four trinities, the four components to the capstone, the LOV in all four quadrants of self and civilization. Self in terms of spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, and civilization in terms of government, education, healthcare, and the economy. These are archetypes that are universal. Our social, political, and economic institutions are all, go back at core to first principles of cosmic law. Now, this isn't laid out in the Constitution that the founding fathers of the United States talked about. They used cosmic law in terms of symbols, ancient symbols, Masonic symbols. Mystical symbols, they go back thousands of years. But if you get, to the root of the ancient mysteries, Hermes Trismegistus, Hermes thrice great, and Trismegistus thrice great Hermes. And again, the threefold flame, the threefold dimensions of you might say the mysteries of God. He was the one that originated, Hermes originated in ancient mysteries. He was the one that originated the understanding of in the beginning, God geometrized. In other words, what we know now is the fractal order of the holographic universe. It's geometry throughout energy fields within fields within fields, which is why I talk about astrology and the cosmic weather report in the beginning of my show, because there's energetics going on and there's geometries in those energetics. There's trines and sextiles. There's like, again, and the more you have and work with the language of the law of the angles and this language of the angels, heart coherence at the heart of mind congruence, you begin to think archetypally. You begin to see with pattern recognition. It helps you to learn to organize all information in formation along more enlightened lines that frame the first principles of cosmic law. Again, the law of the one, the circle, the two in one, the cross, the three in one, the trinity, the four in one, the E. Symbol of when I say the symbol looking down the pyramid, it's a universal archetype. You see it in mandala sand paintings, that the Tibetans do, the Hopi sand paintings. You see it in the four winds of the Native Americans. They talk about the four winds, the four archetypes. Of course, Jungian psychology, and this Jungian psychology, how we perceive time as well as how we see patterns. Because there are archetypal patterns that repeat themselves throughout all history in governmental constitutions, religious ritual structures, metaphysics as far as, frames of reference for understanding the processes of consciousness. And as you become more conscious of how your consciousness, with the language of light, the light of consciousness, light as consciousness, you become more conscious with a conscience. It's like objective perspective. And becoming conscious of how we are conscious, well, that's the whole point of life. That's the only thing we take with us past this life, is how we become more conscious of how we became more conscious of how we are conscious, how we develop a conscience. And it's like, see, if you take that as a symbol of light, C squared is conscious of how you are conscious. Or as Einstein would put it, E equals MC squared. C is, as you approach the speed of light, C squared, all time and space becomes relative. And as you become more conscious of how you're conscious, with the language of consciousness, which is, again, the language of light, that's the interactive interface for mass-to-mass communications with the hardware model, with the universal law language model of this universal interface with hardware. And this is all, again, coded on the websites and the links that I provide in the content. The narrative I'm reading, there's hot links that refer to light language, and you can go to that. And there's dimensions, the brightness scale, color spectrum, upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, and, foresight and hindsight, within the you might say the cosmic cube between your ears, from upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain. You've got a cosmic cube there. And that center point in that cube, you might say, all these components to the capstone come together with a, God vision, geometrically ordered divinity, however you want to frame it. Being centered and connected is being conscious of how you are conscious with a conscience. And this can be done collectively. This is the presentation I gave to 10 agencies of the federal government on Capitol Hill 50 years ago, which I've been reporting on the last year, because it's the 50th anniversary of that, in which I explained how we could have a new American revolution for the bicentennial. Again, this was 76 back then, 1776. This was the fall of 74 when I gave this presentation to the 10 agencies of the federal government who were looking to how they were going to celebrate the revolution in America. How are they going to celebrate the bicentennial? And I'd been tapped by a group of futurists, the World Future Society, Committee for the Future, they were attending Buckminster Fuller's World Games Studies workshop that summer of 74, where I gave a lecture and explained how the technology with the new satellites were up there now, providing downlinks to cable TV systems that were linking the United States cities at that time. And these new mini computers that could be at the interface of these cable TV systems, whereby people could use their touch-tone telephones to punch in three numbers followed by a pound key to create a dot in a cube that would reference the upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, to create a cosmic cube field of response to any TV program that was being played on public access TV that was going in cable TV systems around the nation. I explained how this could happen, and this is how it could create an update of freedom of speech, assembly, and petition government, whereby all our core freedoms could be upgraded. Freedom of speech, people could originate a video program because portable video was just coming out at that time. It was 50 years ago. I mean, this is what people could do on their telephones now, and this could all be done. The technology is installed and operational where this could be completely decentralized, this process whereby 100 or 1,000 or a million people could respond to the same program at the same time without creating noise. At any time while they're watching a video, they punch in three numbers on their little iPhone, their number, alphanumeric keypad. They punch and they hit the pound key, and it creates a dot. That dot, with their red blot dinking, is in a field of red dot blinking in a field of dots. Their response is that red blot in a field of people responding within a field of time around that comment that was being made, so that another person, freedom of speech again, could create another video explaining where all the response was in the field of dots was as it relates to whether it's balancing or unbalancing the collective consciousness regarding the content and the meaning at that time of the video. And that's talking pretty fast to orient a picture. Some of you can get that. And once you get the concept of how the cloud you might say, a cloud of response. And this is the presentation I gave to the 10 agencies of federal government. You can't have responsibility for government without the ability to respond. 50 years ago, we had the ability to respond to create this system that would involve and evolve our individual and collective conscience, with a capital C, through this interactive interface that was a function of the language of consciousness itself. You know, again, upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, with these number scales that reference, you know, how you think, feel, and then would respond at any one moment, and how through freedom of speech, creating these videos, freedom of assembly, you have electronic town hall meetings. You basically have a community. This can be a social network community locally. It can be like a school board meeting. It could be a government meeting of all the governments of the nations, where the heads of the nations in a true, you know, the United Sovereigns of Earth Council kind of a thing, you know, where all of us are represented by representatives who are elected through this real-time process of open, decentralized communications locally and globally, whereby the best and brightest are raised to the top, like cream to the top, because they are engaged in the arena and they do the best job. Again, the leaders of tomorrow will be the communicators who are able to communicate and represent what's meaningful and true and best for all collectively. You know, a unified field of, by, and for all netizens. The global internet, like this universal interface for global interaction and the way it can involve and evolve our individual and collective conscience. Now, I've been wanting to get this ramp out for some time. The astrology psychology today is phenomenal. And I reference this with, you know, again, the, and I'm going to go back to this, the astrology psychology at the time, this cosmic weather report with the moon being trine, the sun and Uranus. It is explosive illumination and trine. It's like there's a mirroring with the body, mind, and spirit with this. It's called a creative triangle, you know, both all these planets being sextile in this, including Pluto being conjunct the moon, being sextile Saturn and Neptune in Pisces and Aries, right on the cusp of Pisces and Aries. Now, I could spend the rest of the show going into the astrology cycle, but I'm feeling it. I mean, energetically, this is the time I've been wanting to chunk out in the fewest words possible this understanding of the language of consciousness, you know, and how this can be a universal interface for global interaction, local or global, you know, and again, how this process of originating and evaluating, it's called information's ecology. People can originate programs, evaluate them, create new programs, and they will teach. In the classrooms of the near future, they will be teaching children who will be the communicators tomorrow how to communicate using the tools that we have for creating and then evaluating, and, you know, this light language, how this works as an interactive interface, so that children in the process learn at an early age to become conscious of how they are conscious. So they will learn how to learn rather than what to learn. And in the process of learning how to learn, they will become more conscientious, and they won't become robots, which is the mechanization of education as we've known it, that basically mechanizes the minds, telling, you know, teaching us what to think rather than how to think. Same thing with the lamestream media. Their worst fear is that everyone's going to wake up and, you know, become conscious of, you know, how they're being manipulated, and saying, you know, thus far and no, and the people just collectively saying, thus far and no further. We've had enough. We can have a better way. Let's transition. Let's basically invest in the infrastructure for a collective Christ-like consciousness, with more consciousness of how we are conscious, with a conscience. So culturing social conscience in our social networks will become the rallying cry of the alliance. And one for all and all for one kind of a thing. How we can all hang together rather than hang separately. It's like, the new American Revolution, the evolution worldwide. And this is where I bring in the concept of America. The founding fathers, the mystical understanding of America was a code word. If you scramble, it's called an anonym. If you scramble the letters of America, you get the I am race. And the I am race is the I am that I am. It is, when God came, when Moses came down from the mountaintop and he said, the name of God is I am that I am, he was referring to the presence, the presence process, the presence of being geometrically ordered divinity, being the archetypes of wholeness, seeing with God vision, having the understanding, the insight and outlook for understanding, the archetypal first principles of the language of the angels, heart coherence at the heart of mind congruence, the law of the angles, the frames of reference for cosmic law. So the greater your insight regarding the love codes, the geometrically ordered divinity, God vision codes, the better your outlook with a high state of common sense. What is common sense? It's unified field conscience. It's consciousness of how we are conscious. And if you look at the archetypal glyphs, the L-O-V-E of the love model with the block L with the circle in the middle, the big O, which is like there's a circle in all of the glyphs of the L-O-V-E, the geometrized glyphs. And if you're following along, you're at that point where I have a big graphic of this. And that's that understanding of that in all dimensions of wholeness, of God, of love, of I am that I am, America, the I am race. In all dimensions, there is the law of the one, the spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. In the left brain, linear, logical, lockstep letter of the law, the spherical consciousness is going to be smaller. But in the right brain, spherical spirit of the law, it's the large O. It's the large circle of wholeness that is all inclusive. And that's more right brain intuition. And it's more the feminine attribute. Women tend to be, more intuitive, holistic, the more the feeling of what you're saying. And whereas men, kind of a feel with their thinking, women tend to think with their feelings. And this balance of the L and the O, or the left brain and the right brain, this is the biological model, the base of the brain, the corpus callosum, does the brain switching between the two halves. And when the left brain and right brain are balanced, like while you're dancing or running or doing something where your left and the right's going back and forth, jogging or dancing or even rebounding on the rebounder or swimming, you're going left, right. It's like you're doing brain gym on your two hemispheres and they're balancing. And that's why people who do athletics and coordination exercises and some kind of movement and dance, whether it's Tai Chi or whatever, you're becoming centered and connected. And that centered and connected is the capstone, you might say, of experience spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, and in governmentally. You might say in social media networks, you have government networks, you have education networks, you have healthcare networks, you've got economic networks, they're communities. And the unity within all this diversity is the communication, communion process whereby we come into one, the unified field in all dimensions of our being. It's like the assembling the components, the capstone. So this concept of God vision is a real thing. Basically, again, we're talking about insight and outlook for understanding the overview. And I'm waxing poetic because all of this is metaphoric when you talk about the law of the one, the circle of wholeness, and all of these, four law L-O-V-E archetypes. And then there's the law of the two in one, which is referencing polarity, not duality, and the law of the three in one, the Holy Trinity, power, wisdom, and love, balance for 3D mastery. And my content that I'm reading from in the narrative, I have hot links with in-depth understanding of these concepts of like the threefold flame, the power, wisdom, love, the creative ascent process in the capstone, in time, 40 time, you know, the future of time, how we perceive time with Jungian archetypes, for the understanding of 4D time, integrating all these archetypal components, the LOVE, you know, to the capstone, creative ascent process for 5D, fifth ray vision, you know, God love vision, the inner sense of innocence. Again, effective sensory perception at the heart of the hero with a million faces. So the rest of this serving apocalypse piece, and I'm not going to get into Mother's Day piece, which is kind of personal. You know, it begins personal, and then it goes impersonally, you know, mothering, you know, the evolution of Earth, mothering civilization, you know, those who are mothers of culture, and mothers of families, and mothers of community, the nurturing mothering energy. So I provide that link in the, well, it's archived already, you know, in the archives for HeartCom Network. You can go, like I say, if you're listening in the future to the podcast, you can look at the footnotes, and it begins with a personal thing, you know, the mother of my children, you know, my first children, and of course I had two more, raised four children, and this is just currently, you know, the daughter of my first child. Is just graduating from high school. I have a picture of her and recognizing her, you know, and of course recognizing my daughter on Mother's Day. So begin personal and end up in kind of an impersonal way. And the Mother's Day piece, talking about, you know, how we're all mothering and nurturing, you know, in service to others, whether it's in family or whether in community or whether in social media networks, you know, culturing social conscience in social networks is a mothering process. It's a nurturing process. So here's to the mother, divine mother principle. I wanted to honor that on Mother's Day. But finishing up on this piece, there was some other news, controversial views, some mind-blowing stuff, kind of shocking stuff, controversial stuff, some infographics. Finishing up on the note of, you know, where it's going, folks, eventually, sooner or later, you know, things are waking up, wising up, rising up. We're in a pattern into 2000, from 2025 in through 2030. We're talking about a great awakening process that's accelerating. Now, when I say more light and love, easier and faster, you know, hold on to your hats, folks. You know, this is going to be a roller coaster. You know, there's waves coming in, so we're going to be surfing the apocalypse, and surfing the apocalypse in terms of, you know, an enlightenment process. You know, there's like things are, when I say accelerating, there is the opportunity for extraordinary growth, but you got to keep your balance, you know, keep that surfboard riding the wave, you know, hang 10 by God's grace, you know, you'll learn how to keep on that surfboard. I mean, there's falling off when you're learning how to, you know, you got to learn to surf. The waves are coming in of accelerated change. I referenced a couple of them in this piece on surfing the apocalypse. And you get the gist, you know. So here's to it. Hopefully you've heard something today that sparks your conscience and awakens your part in the global revolution and higher consciousness that is accelerating through the 2020s. I've accelerated several bursts of information throughout this program today. It's the energy of the hour. I'm telling you, the astrology psychology right now, I'm feeling it. So keep the faith, folks. See the good and make it so. Dance like no one is watching. Love like you've never been hurt. And be the change you want to see. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.